Today's passage reading is from Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 4,400 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Bolivia, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, the Netherlands, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, Israel, Kenya, Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania, Nigeria, Swaziland, South Africa, Botswana, Cote d'Ivoire, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and television viewing audiences. If you have been attending this church for a while, you must have heard terms like spirit, Holy Spirit, and flesh. What is spirit? Spirit is something that does not perish or change, but is everlasting and true. This is also a characteristic of God the Creator. That is why God says He is Spirit. God, who is Spirit, gave man a portion of His holy and everlasting character when He created him. That's why the first man, Adam, was created as a living spirit. But since Adam committed a sin, he lost the everlasting and true characteristics. He had now corrupted from spirit into flesh. Flesh is something that is the opposite of spirit. It is something that changes and perishes and is dirty and meaningless. Adam's descendants were born since then, were also born as men of flesh, that is, as fleshly beings. The most important task for those who changed into flesh is to change from man of flesh to man of spirit. If I ask, what is Christian life today? And they say, oh, they attend church and to pray. But it's not real Christian life. Christian life is to change from flesh into spirit. You have to cast off flesh and go into spirit and recover the lost image of God. That is a real Christian life. How can we change into man of spirit again? We should sanctify ourselves. When we cast off sins and evil from our heart, namely when we cast off the fleshly natures from our heart, the natures that perish and change, that we can recover the lost image of God who is Spirit. Once we change into Spirit, we will not only recover the spiritual characteristics that Adam had, but also become God's children who are more beautiful than Adam. Why is that? Adam was given the rights as a living spirit with the limitations that this expression carries. He was spirit, but this spirit could also die. Namely, if he accepted sins and evil with his free will, he might as well corrupt into flesh. The first man, Adam, had no experience on how bad flesh is. He didn't experience death, tears, sorrow, or pain. So, even though God taught him spirit is good and flesh is bad, he couldn't keep it in his heart. But those who are cultivated on this earth and change from flesh into spirit experience deep in their bones what flesh is like. They know very well how good spirit is, namely how good it is to have no death, no sorrow, and no pain. Thus, no matter what the temptation may be, they don't accept sins and evil again. When Adam was a living spirit, He didn't have experiences about on flesh. So there was possibility of accepting flesh through a temptation. He was a living spirit of that kind. But for us, we change from flesh to spirit. So, because we have experienced flesh and how bad it is, how evil and how meaningless and useless it is, we, after experiencing it, we cast off flesh and go into spirit. So, after we do that, we become a spirit that will not be tempted anyway. This is the meaning and reason why we are being cultivated on this earth. All the moments of our lives on this earth are the times for us to realize how meaningless and everything on this earth is. Experiencing the meaninglessness of flesh that gives us death, sorrow, and pain, we should keep it in our heart. To the extent that we experience it, we are able to realize how good spirit is and recover the spirit in us. When we long for the spirit this way and pass the first level of faith to the second, third, and finally reach the fourth level of faith, we are now recovered as men of spirit. When we cast off flesh and go into spirit, God walks with us from this moment, and He lets us enjoy the right of His children in full measure. We recover the spiritual authority that Adam once enjoyed, so even the enemy devil and Satan cannot do anything to us. There are many, many differences between man of flesh and man of spirit, but let me give you an example. Let's say you hurt your body with a knife. The same person cut you in the same, gave you same wound. For a man of flesh to be cured, it'll take a long time, for many days. But for a man of spirit, it'll just take one day. If he's after one night, the scabs will form and it'll fall off and it'll be cured. And for men of flesh, the healing process will be different according to the measure of their faith. For worldly people, they will put medicine and everything, but because you have faith, you won't do that, but it may take many days if the wound is deep. But for a man of spirit, just for after one night, they will be clean. And same with bleeding. Man of flesh, they have to wipe it, and it'll bleed a lot, but man of spirit, after praying, it'll just stop immediately. Even this kind of thing, there will be such a great difference. So we recovered the spiritual authority that Adam once enjoyed, so even the enemy devil and Satan cannot do anything to us. Therefore, there won't be any tests or hardships. Blessings will come down on our families, workplaces, and businesses, and we'll experience the answers of God to our prayers. I'm preaching on the altar for you to become sanctified and men of spirit to let you enjoy these blessings. This is the 16th session of the Measure of Faith, and I will talk to you about the glories you will enjoy for those who enter into the first level of faith. I pray in the name of the Lord that through this message, your hope and longing for the spiritual realm will become greater so that you will more quickly go into spirit and whole spirit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God repays us within His justice according to how we act and sow. He gives us the dwelling places and rewards according to our measure of faith. The worldly people do not even believe in heaven and hell, and even believers do not really know what kind of place the heavenly kingdom really is and what kind of life we'll lead there. But our members have been hearing many things about the heavenly kingdom and the life in it through many messages, and I think you have greater hope for the heavenly kingdom. But it's not true that you will be able to enjoy everything you are longing for just by the fact that you enter the heavenly kingdom. Of course, heavenly dwelling places are incomparably happier than this earth. There is no untruth, and instead of sorrow and pains, there is only love and joy. Even in paradise, you don't have to worry about your food, clothing, or housing. You don't have to earn money. You don't have to toil. You don't have to study very hard, and you don't have to enter into a good college or anything. There is nothing perishing. There is nothing that rots or smells, but only something beautiful and fragrant. There's no dust, no death, no sorrow, no parting, no pain. Everything is beautiful and happiness itself, even if you went to paradise. There are beautiful angels, the sweet melody of praises, and the most exquisitely beautiful surroundings found there. There's no envy, no jealousy. There's no backbiting or slandering, no hatred, no ill feelings, no heartbreaking, no offense. Nobody has a hard time. If you have ill feelings, you don't talk to that person, but that kind of thing doesn't exist in the heavenly kingdom. We live there with our dear ones forever. This is the happiness that everybody can enjoy in paradise, the first kingdom of heaven, and in the second kingdom of heaven. But what our members long for is something more than that. You hope to experience the castle-like houses that are adorned with pure gold and various jewels, and have a lake, swimming pool, a golf course, ballroom, and other facilities, and countless angels who serve you like precious princesses and princes, and you hope to enjoy the authority of kings. You want to fly in the sky in a vehicle-like cloud, like riding in expensive luxury cars here. You can enjoy the heavenly banquets, seeing the Lord and being near to Him. And you will enjoy only eternal joy and happiness. This is the kind of heavenly kingdom that you are dreaming of. But to enjoy all these things, you must be completely sanctified and be faithful in all God's house to enter into the city of New Jerusalem. You have to get to the fifth level of faith. Or at least, you must go into spirit. Namely, you must get into the fourth level of faith to enter the third kingdom of heaven to enjoy somewhat similar glories. Therefore, the difference between the fourth level of faith and the third level of faith, namely going into spirit and not going into spirit, it's like the difference between heaven and earth. For example, in paradise, the first kingdom and the second kingdoms of heaven, there are many angels who maintain things and help the children of God from time to time. They take care of their lawns and flower rows and sometimes escort the people to the public facilities so that God's children can enjoy their lives in the heavenly kingdom with comfort and happiness. At the second kingdom of heaven and below, there are no assigned angels to personally minister to any individuals. Angels are given to minister personally only to those who go to the third kingdom and above. Also, the number of the angels attending will be different according to how much one is sanctified and how much he or she has pleased God with actions of faith and obedience, and according to how many souls they have saved on this earth. To the people in New Jerusalem, greater numbers of angels will be given than for those who are in the third kingdom of heaven. So just by looking at the numbers of angels, we can feel each one's glory and dignity. Also, to have personal use of heavenly vehicle like clouds, we have to go to at least the third kingdom of heaven. The cloud in heaven is different from the cloud on this earth, which is made by the evaporation. Heavenly clouds are something like a decoration to add more glory and beauty. When God appeared to Moses during the time of Exodus, He appeared in the cloud. Also, when Solomon dedicated the temple was filled with the cloud and with the glory of God that came down. This cloud is different from the cloud on the earth that we see with our eyes. When Jesus went up to the mountain of the Transfiguration, God's voice sounded from the cloud, as Matthew 17:5 says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud, not just cloud, but a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The second part of Matthew 26:64 says, "Hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." The clouds of heaven mentioned in various parts of the Bible are like decorations to show the glory of God. These clouds are given to God's children as well, and they ride them like vehicles to go to anywhere they want. But not everybody in the heavenly kingdom can have this vehicle. Only those who enter New Jerusalem can receive personal vehicles. Those who go to the third kingdom can ride the cloud-like vehicles that are not personal belongings but public property. Additionally, even the outer appearances are very different between the people in the second kingdom and below, and the third kingdom and above. The light of glory, the clothes, the patterns of the clothes, the decorations and hairstyles are all different, so that we can easily see how much one is sanctified and how much he or she is loved by God. When we go to other countries, it's different according in each country, but in some countries, they do a lot of decorations on their clothes. They have a lot of adornments. In some countries, same with the neighboring countries, but they have necklaces, not only one. And also they wrap their neck, wrap around their neck with big poles. They wrap around their neck 7 or 8 times, and they have with even earrings. They have such big earrings, and if they move, these earrings will make sound. And also, the colors, they prefer golden color. Also, the rings, they want thick ones, and they wear many of them. In Korea, we just have one ring, but they have many, many rings. Also, they have bracelets, such big bracelets. Golden bracelets, they have 2 or 3 of them. So wherever they can hang anything, and if they have a lot of decorations, it means they are in higher positions. And even the those who are in a lower social class, they will save money to have a lot of decorations. So even in heaven, the light of glory, the clothes, the patterns, the decorations and hairstyles are all different, so that we can easily see how much one is sanctified and how much he or she is loved by God. When I talk to them, I don't have any ring or anything. I don't have a bracelet. I have no adornment on my body. And I was wondering how they would look at me. I would maybe, "Oh, he is such a poor person." They don't think that way, but they would probably think he must be rich, but he has no decorations. One of the most significant differences is the length of women's hair. In heaven, both men and women will have slightly wavy blonde hair. The length of the hair for all men will come down to the neck, but for women, the length will be different according to their heavenly rewards. First half of 1 Corinthians 11:15 says, "But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her." As said, to the women in the third kingdom in New Jerusalem, long and beautiful hair will be given as glorious reward. So in New Jerusalem, their hair will come down to their waist, the bottom of the spine, and in the third kingdom of heaven, it will come down just above it to the middle of the spine. Now, how are houses in the third kingdom built? I told you that people in the second kingdom of heaven have beautiful independent mansions, and they are all single-story buildings. First kingdom? What is it? Now I'm talking about a second kingdom. They have a independent mansions, single-story buildings. However, from the third kingdom, buildings go up in multiple stories. They are decorated with pure gold and jewels, and they have lakes and splendid gardens that have beautiful and fragrant flowers and trees. In heaven, you don't need multiple-story buildings, actually, but there is no need for a three-story building. It is uncomfortable to go up. But on this earth, we have small land, so we go up. But in heaven, the land is endless. Because we don't have limitations of the area. We don't have to go up high. So the second kingdom is a single story, and third kingdom is a multiple story. But the highest is the third, three-story. Three floors. And also splendid gardens that have beautiful and fragrant flowers and trees. There are many fish in the lake. And you can have lovely conversations with them. Of course, you can have a lake along with your mansion in the second kingdom. In the second kingdom of heaven, you can have any kind of facility such as golf course, swimming pool, or a passage for walking, but you can choose only one of them. So the Lord knows your preferences and whatever you want to have. So in the second kingdom, God gives you one of the things that you want to have. But in the third kingdom, you don't have to choose only one thing. You can have everything you want. You don't have to go to somebody else's house to use a facility that you don't have. You can use any kind of facility that you have in your house. The mansions in the third kingdom that have these facilities are decorated with so much splendor and grandeur that even billionaires on this earth cannot imitate them. Another difference from the second kingdom is that there is no door plate that identifies the resident in the third kingdom, because special and unique fragrance comes out from the house itself to let people feel the heart of the owner. We can easily see who the owner is. Just by looking at the fact that there is no door plate, we can see how glorious, precious, and important the people in the third kingdom are. Let me give you an example. Even in this world, when we are looking for a house of an ordinary person, we have to see an address and check the door plate. But the houses of famous persons are well known, even if there is no door plate on them. For example, houses of very well-known businessmen, celebrities, and or houses of presidents of countries are known to everybody around it, even without door plates. You can catch anybody in the town and ask where it is. When I was in high school, I lived in Sindangdong. On Saturday or Sunday, I had to go through Jangchungdong to go outside. And from Jangchung-dong, there was a road going through Yasdong and Jongno, Eulchido. And in Jangchung Park, I was having a rest, and if I wanted to play more, we went up to Namsan. At that time, there were rabbits in Namsan. There was no fence or anything. And there was a valley, and sometimes we could see even rabbits. And from my house in Sindangdong, going through Jangchung-dong, there were many big mansions, and one of them was it had a wall of red bricks, and it was the house of Byung-chul Lee, who was the former president of the Samsung Group, the founder of Samsung Business Group. We couldn't see inside it. It was a very, very big mansion. And when we went to South Africa after the Congo Crusade, the guide said those who were successful, those Koreans who were successful, because the houses are so many acres, even Jebels, the business conglomerate presidents, cannot live in these houses. And I thought he doesn't know a lot about, because Byung-chul Lee, he lived in such a big house. And there, everybody knew that house is President Byung-chul Lee's house. Likewise, those who go into the third kingdom of heaven have such great honor, and that we can feel who the owner of the house is, even without the door plate. How much more would it be for New Jerusalem? Just as the spiritual fragrance of each person is different, the fragrance and the lights coming out from each house will be different. According to how much the owner is sanctified and resembles God, the fragrance and light will be more beautiful. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some people in this world love their pets so much that they love them as though they were their own children. But because animals have no spirit, even though they are very lovely and smart, we cannot take them to the heavenly kingdom. But I'm not saying animals go to hell. Because animals consist only of body and soul without spirit, when they die and their bodies decay, their soul also goes back to nothing. So the Bible says it will go down to earth. However, I'm not saying there are no animals in the heavenly kingdom either. Animals and birds in the heavenly kingdom are so beautiful, splendid, smart, and mild, beyond comparison with animals on this earth. They make heavenly citizens happy, and they can talk to the people. In the third kingdom of heaven, animals and birds will be given to people as their pets. They are much more beautiful, magnificent, and lovely than the animals in the second kingdom of heaven. Just as there are crowns in the first and second kingdoms of heaven, a crown is given to those who go into the third kingdom of heaven. It is the crown of life. According to your faith, the numbers of angels, the authority of the angels will be different. Those at the third level and fourth level of faith, they are ministering angels. For a third, when they meet each other, the ministering angel, our third kingdom, a third level of faith, will bow down, show the respect to the angels, ministering angels of the one who is at the fourth level of faith, because they are higher. They show the respect. Even on this earth. So for the third kingdom of heaven, it is the crown of life. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved." Now, when you go through trial, you don't just bear it, but when you pass it with love and faith and joy, only after you are approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When you cast off sins, each time there are temptations and persecutions. But when you pass through these things and you pass all the tests, and you, if you cast off all flesh and all fleshly thoughts, you are in spirit and you will gain a crown of life. Revelations 2:10 says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." When I will preach about on the revelation later, there will be more explanations that I didn't explain to you before. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Being faithful until death is to have the faith of martyrdom and to work faithfully for the kingdom of God in the spiritual ways. We should not only do the God-given duties with our body, but also not compromise with this world. We say one is faithful until death when he struggles against and casts off sins to the point of shedding blood and becomes completely sanctified. Those who go into the third kingdom of heaven have accomplished sanctification and have been faithful until death with all of their life, so they will receive the crown of life for that. Also, even though one is not fully sanctified, if he is martyred for the name of the Lord, he will dwell in the third kingdom of heaven, and he will receive the crown of life. It is not easy to become a martyr with faith. Among the believers today, we see some people violate the Sabbath because of some temptations of money, and which is not even very much. Their lives are not even threatened, but because they are afraid of persecution from their family members or their bosses in their jobs, they violate the command of God. We have a missionary chair from the United States. I met her on Friday. I feel very sorry. In the United States, last Christmas day, there were many churches that didn't have worship service on Christmas Day. It was Sunday on Christmas Day. And to enjoy themselves, they didn't have worship services. Also, many churches nowadays are being changed. Of course, they have been changing for a long time, but nowadays especially they are changing. And she knows many big churches. And on Sunday, they have worship service Saturday night to have rest on Sunday. They have to have a holy Sabbath, but to have enjoy themselves and buying and selling and enjoying themselves on Sunday. To do that, they are offering service on. They have service on Saturday night. And her missionary herself and all the members in Washington, they are so happy. They are rejoicing that they know the truth and they are going the way of heaven. Before, they didn't really know the truth, and if that went on, they would have fallen into hell. But now they have the way of heaven. There is an Oriental medicine doctor and his wife. They have a lot of talents, and they confess, if we led the Christian life the way we had been leading it before, we would have fallen to hell. But now we came to know the truth, and they are so happy that they have true faith now. Can we just keep Sabbath a little bit, you know? No? Why is it so weak? We can never do that. We can never compromise. to go to after we get to heaven, we live there forever and ever. And if we don't go to heaven, we'll suffer in fires of hell forever. And for this momentary enjoyment, should we do something that will lead us to hell? And this life, for the worldly people, they say, oh, what will be the enjoyment for me? What will be happiness for me if I cut out this worldly thing? But ask those who go into spirit. For the spiritual people, those things are such sympathetic thing. Those things do not give you any true joy. They do not give you true happiness. They cannot protect you from diseases. They cannot give you true blessing. But only for those things, worldly people are looking after those things, going after those things. But spiritual people, they rely on God in everything. They commit everything onto God's hands, and they are healthy in all ways. And when we cut off all those things, we have true happiness. Man of spirit know all those things. So after going through that, now that they have gone into spirit, they are so happy and joyous all the time. But because men of flesh do not know those things, they think if they cut out worldly pleasure, they will be unhappy or something like that. But only after they cut out those things, you can gain true happiness. If these people who cannot even practice the truth in small things encounter a situation where they have to give their life, how can they become martyrs with faith? But becoming a martyr does not always guarantee entrance to the third kingdom of heaven. Even though it seems to be the same martyrdom on the outside, the faith and inner heart of each one is different. There are people who become martyrs with true faith and love, but there are also others who don't. For example, when people have a disease and rely on God completely without relying on hospitals, their faith and inner hearts are all different. If they truly love and trust God and rely on the Lord, with a heart saying, whether I die or live, my life belongs to the Lord, and if God doesn't heal them but calls their spirit, He can acknowledge their death as martyrdom. But if they do not go to the hospital, not with the faith in their heart, but with just the knowledge stored about divine healing, or if they just don't go to the hospital with the pride that they have that much faith, the results will be different. Therefore, even though we become martyrs, only those who offer their lives with true faith and love can enter into the third kingdom of heaven and receive the crown of life, because God looks at our inner hearts. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, John 14:21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Only those who have the commandments of the Lord and keeps them is the one who loves Him. And he who loves Him will be loved by the Father. So those who go into spirit, there will be evidences are followed that the Lord loves them. If we love the Lord to the utmost degree, keep all His commands and cast off sins even from our heart, the evidences of God's loving us will follow always. We'll be healthy and receive prosperity on this earth, and even in the heavenly kingdom, we'll enjoy much glory and authority as God's true children. To the extent that you go into spirit and Holy Spirit with a love for God, He will be overjoyed and give you greater blessings and honor. The glory and honor given in the heavenly kingdom cannot adequately be expressed with words. The Apostle Paul saw only paradise and came back, and he could consider everything loss that he had considered the most valuable before. He could give not only all his belongings, but also his life. If you have true faith, you only long for worldly fame and honor. You will only long for sanctification, casting off sins, and taking hold of the heavenly kingdom by force. I could have something to add on the explanation about angel. For the people in the second kingdom of heaven, the angels in the second kingdom are different from the angels in the third kingdom of heaven. Of course, the strength and authority are different. Angels in the third kingdom and above, you can move them as you want. But you don't command them anything. They read your mind and they act according to your will. They read the master's mind. Their master is talking with somebody and he wants to drink something or he wants to eat something, and these angels, they know, so they will get some fruits and bring them to the master. And according to what they want in their heart, these angels will serve them. But in the second kingdom, they won't do it. These people have to command them. I'm hungry, so please bring me some fruits. When you command them, they will obey. So there's such great difference. Reading the master's mind and obeying, and just obeying the command are very different. Men's mission members, when you go to go back home, when your wife, if when she knows your mind and she does everything for you, how good will it be? And right after, in the morning, after you wake up, the wife have made coffee and bring it to you, and you feel good. And if she does everything, when you get hungry in the evening and she cooks dinner for you, what you like, and serves you, then how good and how lovely she would be. Okay, let's say there is this kind of a wife and another kind of wife. You have to ask her. And when you ask her, she'll serve you. You say, oh, I'm hungry, and then she'll cook for you. And even this kind of wife, you'll be so happy. But there's another kind of wife. I want some coffee. And she says, yes, I'll finish up my cleaning and then give you. And she does the cleaning and serves you the coffee. Also, there's another kind of wife. You ask, I want some coffee. And she says, you know what I'm doing? You see what I'm doing right now? Just, can't you just make coffee for yourself? And she says, I'm teaching your son. So, let's say there are these four kinds of wives, and which husband will be the happiest? The happiest will be the first, and the second, and the third, and fourth. And which wife will be happiest? The first is the happiest, second, third, and fourth. So, now husbands, you have something to tell your wife. You heard the senior pastor, but husbands, you should also think about yourself. God says you have to love your wife as your body, and only then can you tell something to your wife. You should look back whether you loved your wife as your body, and you should serve each other, humble each other. If only one side is only serving and the other side is only being served, you cannot say it is very happy. And when I went for this vacation, this time I didn't have to ask her anything. She does everything. She knows what I want. She knows what I like and what kind of situation, so I don't have to ask anything. But problem is, it's too much. She does too much. So even at the residence, she serves a little bit too much, but she knows what I want and what I like, so she serves me with she knows what I need, and she knows what snacks I like, and she knows what kind of coffee I like, and what kind of situation. She made coffee mixed in Seoul itself, and so that I could make a couple of times a day. So she prepared the things that I needed to make coffee, and at night not to let me eat the cold food, she prepared something to heat the soup and heat the food. And she did everything as I wanted. So can I just receive all the servings that she is doing? And I have to serve her too. So I give her some money so that she can spend when she goes out to the for overseas meetings. And so when she goes for a vacation after 28-day special prayer meeting, I give her beforehand, before they ask. Also to my children, before they ask, I give them what they need. So it's very rare to hear them say anything that they need. They need something, so because I give them beforehand. So it's happy to serve each other. If only one side is serving, there is only half happiness. So the angels in the third kingdom, they read the minds of the masters and serve them. But in the second kingdom, they only serve you only when only at your command. I hope none of you, dear members, will be satisfied with paradise, first kingdom, or the second kingdom of heaven. I urge you to determine to go into spirit and whole spirit and dwell in New Jerusalem. What I feel sorry about is that there are people who can go into New Jerusalem. There are many of them. And he can or she can get into New Jerusalem. And now, many will be seen. And they are different. Their actions, their heart are different. Their love and faithfulness are different. Their inner heart is different. Through their life, they changed themselves and they made their vessels proper before God. And in 2006, many of you should become like this. I pray in the name of the Lord that this hope will fill you and fully, so that you will never look at the world and in each moment of your life, you will take hold of New Jerusalem by force. Let us pray, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord, we give you thanks. Thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become life and strength. Father, let us go into spirit quickly and become children of light with whom you are pleased. Let us go into third kingdom in New Jerusalem. Let nobody fall away. Let every one of us go into beautiful heavenly kingdom. Lord, let us make up our mind and let us have the faith that we can get in there too. And let us have the deeds, proper deeds. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts and your infirmities and receive the prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Father. Please lay your hands on them from head to toe, all entrails, cells and nerves and tissues, and joints, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Give them spiritual and physical health. Father, work transcending time and space. Bless all the branch church and local sanctuary and other church members who attended a service through this satellite all over the country, and those who attended a service on the internet all over the world, and all GCN viewers. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, all enemy devil and darkness, go away. Loosen the chains of injustice and go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, joints. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Be cleansed. Light come, Father. Give them spiritual and physical health. Drive away all problems throughout the week. All problems go away. Father, give them prosperity. And wherever they go, let all the strongholds of the enemy, devil, and Satan be broken down, broken away. Father, show your work. Let all darkness go away. Father, demolish all part of darkness. Let us go into light. Let us lend but not borrow. Let us become the head but not the tail. And bless and protect our families, workplaces and businesses. And throughout the week, protect us and protect all vehicles. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, protect and bless all overseas missionaries and members in other countries. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.